Wonderful. You know, God is spirit. And look at John 4 just for a moment here. God is spirit. You cannot take spirit into a laboratory, you know, and analyze it. You can't, you know, put a Bunsen burner under it and, you know, and all those different things they do in those chemistry classes and different things. But, you know, God is spirit. You can't smell spirit. You can't taste spirit. You know, you can't touch it. You know, God is spirit. Spirit is a completely different realm than the physical realm. There's, you know, just like, you know, they're plants and animals, but the plants and animals, they have to have soil. You know, it's really something how God has put this whole thing together. You know, that God is spirit. Well, we'll look at it here. John 4, 24, it says, God is a spirit, and the word a, you can leave it or take it out, but God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So look at Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. In Acts 17, 22, it says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. And Nancy and I stood up there one time in the midst of Mars Hill, and it was quite meaningful to be there, but not as meaningful as these words. And, you know, since God is spirit, and he wants to communicate to man, he's got to come into concretion, into the physical, for man to be able to, so he can communicate with man. Like Moses with the burning bush. The burning bush, there's a bush burning, but wait a minute. It's burning, but it's not being consumed. How can that be? And Moses walked over to look at it, and then God audibly spoke to him. God has to come into concretion for us to, for him to communicate with us. The exception then becomes being born again of God's Spirit, we have a connection with God. And God can speak spirit to spirit. God can speak to our spirit, and our spirit can speak to our mind. And we can receive from God that way. But remember, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, because they're what? Spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. And so we need a connection with God. Okay, we're going to Acts 17, 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious, too religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. The unknown God. They didn't, you know, they had their Venus and their Mercury and their, you know, all these different gods that they worshiped, but then they didn't want to miss any, and they thought there might be one they didn't know about. So they had this this altar to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Urch, screech. You know, you put on the brakes. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. How about that? They made these wonderful, beautiful temples to their gods. God wasn't there. Neither is worship with men's hands. You know, in my Methodist church, as I recall, they used to say, let's worship the Lord now with our tithes and offerings. Can you worship God with your tithes and offerings? No. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. In spirit, truly by the Spirit. You know. Neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. I mean, what is, you know, God doesn't need it. He made it all. You know, God said, and then it was. He wanted, let's get some trees over there. You know, whatever. How, I don't know how he did it, but he spoke it, and it happened. You know, just a terrific thing. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. So this thing of race is not true. You know, God made of all men, made from one bloodline all of mankind. You know, we are all related. We all go back to Adam, and then, of course, we go back to Noah, you know, because that and his family. But, you know, it's not what people have made, well, this race, this, and that race, that. You know, God did choose Israel. And he chose them because they chose him. They had a mutual agreement. They made a covenant together that they would be his people and he would be their God. And no other nation did that. So that is quite a wonderful thing, and it's good for us because it helped us to eventually be here with Christ in us, the hope of glory. Neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined before, and determined times before, and the bounds of their habitation. So he determined the times, you know, and the bounds of their habitation. People today live in places where maybe God wouldn't think they'd want to live. Up in the North Pole, yeah, you know, but men are sort of like that. They got to try stuff out, but, you know, God made it so we could live on the face of the earth. He made of one bloodline all the people of the earth. Verse 27, that they should seek what? The Lord. That they should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. They had to feel after him to try to find him, because when Adam sinned, mankind lost spirit, lost the connection with God. So the body and soul man has to try to feel out, get a good feeling about, is there a God? Try to feel it out or whatever, you know. For in him, in God, we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. You know, man tried to make some gods. You know, they were, man being one time body, soul, and spirit, and then suddenly being only body and soul, man knew they needed a God. They needed something more than what they had. And so they invented gods. You know, well, there's this guy with a big belly, Buddha. Let's worship Buddha, or let's, you know, worship something else. Let's worship the golden calf, or let's worship the Sphinx, you know, or whatever else you want to worship. You know, what do you want to worship? Well, God, right? Good. You said you got the right idea there. Okay. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. It's like, you know. But now commandeth all men everywhere to what? Repent. So, if you're walking down the street and you meet someone, should you speak to them about redemption and salvation? Sure. Well, what if they, you know, they don't look exactly like you? They don't dress like you, or, you know, other stuff. Should you still? Yeah, because God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It's God's will that all men repent, that he wants all to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Remember? God wants all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. And that knowledge of the truth is where we have a lot of input, and also the salvation, because we know what is needed to in order for someone to be saved, and then we can guide them in the knowledge of the truth. Worship in spirit and in truth. You know, so to worship God, you have to have the Spirit of God. You can't worship in spirit if you don't have spirit. And we know from the Word that speaking in tongues is worship of God. Speaking in tongues is prayer and praise to God. Speaking in tongues is speaking divine secrets to God. So many other things. So God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Who's he speaking of there? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from what? The dead. He has given assurance to all of mankind because he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and what? Believed. There are going to be those that will mock. There are going to be those that say, "Well, we'll hear you again of this matter." And then there are going to be some that will believe. Always when it comes to the sharing of God's word. Look at John chapter 1, please. Gospel of John chapter 1. John 1, verse 18. It says, "No man hath seen God at any time." That's it. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath made him known. Remember, Jesus Christ always did the Father's will. He made known God by his life, his words, his ministry, his actions. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John. 1 John 4, verse 12. this sounds familiar. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, in God, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Because we have the gift of Holy Spirit, we know that he dwells in us. Boy, oh boy, isn't that terrific? Look at 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 3. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3. We'll start in verse 7. It says, but if the ministration of death, and that's talking about the law administration, written and graven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Well, if you recall, when God was with Moses, it says it that Moses spoke face to face with God. You know, somewhere it says no man can see God and live. You know, so that's why Jesus Christ, so important that Jesus Christ came, so we could see God's intention in Jesus Christ and live. You know, but Moses was in the presence of God. Didn't say he saw God. The closest I think somebody saw his back parts or something. You know, but the administration of the law was so glorious that the children of Israel could not look on his face when he came back from being with God, in the presence of God, receiving the Ten Commandments, receiving that instruction from God. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. We are in the administration of righteousness, not in the administration of condemnation. For even that which was made glorious has no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, how much more that which remaineth is glorious. It's like at night, there's the glory of the moon and you see that reflection. But when the sun comes up, the glory of the sun is so much brighter that the glory of the moon disappears, right? Sometimes you at sunset or something, you'll see just a little glimpse of the moon, you know. But the glory of the sun is like the glory that God has put in Christ Jesus, in that glory excels. That glory excels. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. You ever think about how great it is that we can talk? We could, you know, can you imagine the cows getting together and saying, I found this new salad restaurant? You know, it's got not only grass, but it's got some other herbs and stuff in it. It's really, really good. It's over on the other side of the pasture. Let's go over and try it out. You know. Our squirrels jumping tree to tree. Hey, did you see that great tree over there? It's got lots of acorns. They're bigger acorns than the trees over here. Come on over and let's look at these acorns. You know, and it's what is so amazing that is that God has given us such freedom and such ease in our ability to communicate with each other in words that we can talk about anything. You know, anything, everything, good things and bad things. But then also God gave us his word so we would know what we ought to think and what we ought to say. I was with somebody that, it was, you know, when I was back in my ECU days, those are great days for me because I'd walk around the football hall, you know, we had all the guys on the team, and I'd go door to door and people would say, hey, Earl, what about such and such in the Bible? You know, because they knew I was into the Bible. And so I'd go sit down in their room and the room would fill up, you know, out into the hall, people asking me questions. And some of them were asking questions because they wanted to know, but some of them were asking questions because they were sure they were going to stump me. Yeah, here's one. I know Earl can't answer this one. You know, but it was so much fun because in those days we had these little pamphlets. And I would read two or three of those every day. And I would read them and I'd study them and I'd mark them in my Bible and make sure I understood them. And invariably, they would ask me a question regarding something I had just studied that day. So it was fresh in my mind. So I said, oh, yeah, in chapter so-and-so. You know. But the other day I prayed. I said, God, I really love those times. I would really like to be able to do that some more if I could ever have the opportunity to just talk to people like that. So then I was meeting with this guy, and he said, I got to tell you, I've got a challenge with me. I say things to my wife that upset her, and I know I should put her first, but you know I got all these things going on in my life, and so then I said, well, you know what you need to do. You need to go to the Bible and find scriptures that help you overcome the challenges that you're facing. You know, Ron talked about that last week. I was so blessed. He talked about retemeries. You know, and so I talked to this person, and I was able to say, well, okay, let's look at chapter, you know, well, Ephesians 5 is loaded with stuff about how husbands should treat their wives, you know, and love them as Christ loved the church and gave himself for them. And, you know, so then, and other things came up, and it was really neat because I had prayed and said, God, I really would like to do this again. And so he was asking me, but he was asking me questions not to stump me because he really had a need. And so I gave him some, I had my Rolodex file because we're moving, had one that still had a bunch of blanks. So I pulled those out and I said, okay, here, write down, you know, on one side the scripture, and on the other side write down what your need is, why you need the scripture, you know. And so then he started doing that. He was writing down, you know, and I was giving him just different verses. And it was so refreshing and so nice because we've got the questions. God's got the answers. You know, God's word has all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Do you want to live godliness in your life? Then go to the scriptures. You know, Do you want to know God's perspective on things? People say, oh, gosh, I just wish I knew God's will. God's will is declared in his word. And the great thing about concordances, if you've got a question about something, you know, get out your concordance, look up the thing you got a question about, and it'll have a list of scriptures. Go look at those scriptures. Boy, what a great tool that is. You know, and then what you need to do is like what evidently what Jesus Christ did. You know, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without what?
Sin.
He never broke fellowship with God. He never sinned. He never did something that was wrong. Boy, the mental discipline of that is tremendous. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. What a savior. But how was he able to do that? Well, we have examples of when he was tempted. When he was tempted of the devil, what did he say? It is written. You know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man, oh man. How wonderful that is. What a terrific example. So, but he had to study that ahead of time. He had to study that ahead of time so that he would have that answer when that temptation came. He had to know what it said, so he was prepared. So how about us? How do we prepare our lives? Same way. If you are being tempted in a certain area or a certain category, if it's money or if it's, you know, something else, whatever it may be, you can go to the scriptures, find out what the scriptures say about that subject. You know, and I've done this so many times. I'll put it on a 3x5 card. I'll carry them around in my pocket. You know, and I'll pull them out Once I've got that scripture down, I throw the card away because I don't need it anymore. You know, but to know what the word says about situations that come up in life, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So we can write down on one side what our challenge, our temptation is. On the other side, write the scripture or scriptures that address that. Sometimes there are many scriptures, so, you know, choose the one that best fits the situation. How wonderful it is that God has given us his word so we can know what his will is. If we know his word, then we know his will. So let's see. How far did I get here? Verse 11. Okay. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. When he came down from being with God, down the mountain, and he addressed the children of Israel, they were like, his face shone, you know, his face shone. And so he put a veil over his face when he talked to them, you know, and then he'd go talk to God, he'd take the veil off, he'd talk to God face to face. Come down, children of Israel, put the veil on, and talk to them. Tell them what God said. What a tremendous thing that is. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away in what? Christ. Christ is the pivot point of all history for mankind. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. We don't have to put a veil over our face. We can talk to God by way of what God accomplished in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, when their heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Liberty. Liberty is a very interesting word. Liberty, in the definition of the word, implies freedom with discipline. Disciplined freedom. Freedom within the bounds of what's of God's will. What's, you know, not where you're you've got the freedom to step on everybody else's toes. That's not liberty. Liberty, you don't step on other folks' toes, you know. But we all, and listen to this now. But this is Southern Bible here. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When we look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we look at what he's accomplished, what the word declares about him, we are changed in that same image. It's like this picture up here. This picture was from Rock of Ages 1973. And I think that's what it says on there. Yeah, 73. Thought I remembered right. I talked to the artist. And the artist said that is a depiction of the glory of the Lord. I said, explain it to me. He said, well, this guy is out in a beautiful natural setting. I don't know if the camera can follow me or not, but it is in a beautiful natural setting. And in this setting, there's foliage, and, you know, you can't see it, but there are flowers blooming over here, and, you know, bushes that are blooming over here, you know, and it's just this glorious, beautiful setting, with the sun in the background coming up, the stream coming down. And he's looking for the glory of the Lord. And then he looks down into this pool, and right in this area, the water is calm. And he looks down into the pool, and he sees his reflection. That's the glory of the Lord. We look from glory to glory. We are changed from the glory of the Lord into glory. We are made glorious by what we look at. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We look at what God has made us in Christ. We look at what Jesus Christ accomplished. We look at God's will, and we see God's glory, and that glory is reflected onto us. In the lands and times of the Bible, they didn't have the mirrors like we have today. Their mirrors, a lot of times, were that polished brass. And when you look in the polished brass, the glint of that brass is reflected onto your face. And so they understood this from their understanding of that. And, you know, I've got written down here, you can look at these if you want. Exodus 33:17-23, about, this is talking about Moses when he saw the glory of the Lord, and he, you know, he saw that was reflected on his face when he was getting that information. Exodus 34:1-5 and 29-35. But look at 2 Corinthians 4:6 while we're here. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When you know, I've had people say, you know, well, that person just, they seem to radiate, you know, they're beaming. You know, why is that? What's going on with that? Well, that's what this is talking about, the glory of the Lord. Look at Ephesians, in the face of Jesus Christ. Boy, oh boy, look at Ephesians chapter 1. And I'll finish with this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Well, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your believing in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Glory. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, lit up, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Boy, oh boy, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above. How far?
Far.
Far. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his what? Feet. Where's everything? Under Christ's feet. Under Christ's feet. Okay? And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We are part of the body of Christ. Everything is under his feet. So everything is under our feet in Christ. You know, as we conduct our lives according to the great realities, the spiritual realities of the accomplishments of Christ. What a terrific thing that we have, what God has done for us. And let's live like it. Let's live it. Let's be it. It says we are, you know. It's not something we have to strive for. We got it. You know, when you got it, you what? You got it. So let's live like it. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for all that you've done for us, what you've accomplished in Christ Jesus and made available to us, that we can walk and enjoy fellowship with you and enjoy fellowship with one another and shine forth as lights in this world. We're so thankful for your glory and the privilege that we have to have Christ in us, the hope of that coming glory at the return. And we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.